Right now, it's time for a look at what's making news in Wisconsin this week.
Today, a look at the latest volley between Governor Scott Walker and his challenger, Mary Burke. And we take in a story about large amounts of crude oil traveling by train through Wisconsin.
Noah Avshinsky is WPR's assistant news director, and he joins us every week at this time to fill us in on the state's news. Hey, Noah.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. TGIF. Trains are carrying crude oil across the state. Tell us more about this.
Apparently, they're transporting a lot of oil across the state. This week, this news broke just a few days ago. Mike Simonson had a story on our air about it. This week, we got a glimpse into really how much oil is being transported through Wisconsin by rail. In short, there is a lot of oil making its way around Wisconsin. As we've talked about before on this show, there's something of an oil boom going on in the United States right now, in the Dakotas and areas around that, where the Bakken oil is being taken out of the ground. Also, quite a big oil rush in Canada as well. And what that means is there is a lot of oil moving around the rail networks of the United States, especially here in Wisconsin. And so to get these numbers, to get a sense of how much oil is actually moving around the state and what that means for communities and first responders and things like that, WPR filed an open records request. It's worth noting that while the state complied with our request, the rail companies themselves actually objected to the release of that information. And according to state numbers, one company, BNSF, averages around 36 to 39 trips a week through eight counties. Another company, Canadian Pacific, averages four train loads a week of this oil.
What areas are we talking about when we talk about these eight counties? Can you give us an idea?
Yeah, La Crosse is seeing a lot of oil traffic right now, as is the sort of southern half of the state. It's basically heading, it's coming from the west and heading east, either to terminals in Superior or areas further east, Illinois, that sort of thing. Wisconsin is sort of in the middle of this in a lot of ways. Oil transport in particular, in addition to just the high number of trains with oil traveling across the state, it's also getting a lot of attention because of, these trips. There's accidents. And in fact, there have been trains carrying this Bakken oil from the Dakotas and Alberta have been involved in 11 train derailments and accidents. And one of the reasons why this is also getting attention is because there was a high profile recent accident that got a lot of press really around the world, there was a train accident involving this oil in a small town in Quebec, and the derailment and resulting explosion, unfortunately killed 47 people and essentially leveled an entire town. And so I think that woke a lot of people up to, the fact that there's a lot of oil moving through these communities and that their accidents happen.
How long ago was that? And do we know yet if there have been any changes to the process or any safeguards taken since then to make transport safer?
Yeah, good question. And I think that the accident in Quebec was, I think, a wake-up call in a lot of ways. I know there's a lot of concern among police and fire officials. A lot of these trains, as we just talked about, travel through rural areas, where volunteer firefighters are going to be the first responders. And there is concern that if there is an accident, they are ill-equipped to deal with this kind of disaster. In La Crosse, the fire chief there recently told NPR that he doesn't have enough foam to deal with this kind of disaster, nor the right kind of equipment to really deploy it in the way that he would have to do that in an accident. So a lot of concern about, these trips are increasing, the amount of oil is increasing, but first responders haven't caught up to that yet. They don't have the training, and they don't have the material to deal with a potential accident.
Do you know anything about what Bakken crude oil is? I mean, can you tell us a little bit more about that? I hadn't heard of it till the story broke.
Right. Well, I mean, Bakken oil, it comes from an area of the country that's just sort of roughly the Dakotas. And in the last 10 years, the amount of oil coming out of that area has really skyrocketed, not only oil, but also natural gas as well. And, one of the reasons why, frankly, a lot of oil is being transported by rail is because there's been a lot of controversy surrounding pipelines, mm-hmm. and the construction of new pipelines. The one that I think of, and I think probably most people listening to this segment think of, is Keystone, the Keystone pipeline. That's very controversial. The Obama administration has yet to make a decision on that. And, you know, the people who support pipeline construction argue that, you know, pipelines carry the oil that would otherwise be carried by trains. And they would argue that the pipelines are safer than trains. And environmentalists, of course, would argue, well, we shouldn't be transporting it by train or by pipeline. We should be using less oil. But this is a direct result. The oil's going to flow, and it's got to be transported somehow. And the lack of capacity in the pipeline means that they're going to have to be transported via train. And that's why we're seeing this increased traffic.
Well, speaking of oil, a new computer animation shows us what a pipeline spill would look like in the Straits of Mackinac.
Right. So this was a story Chuck Kornbach had this week. And we talked actually a few weeks ago on the show about this ongoing debate about this pipeline that Enbridge, the company Enbridge, owns that goes under the Straits of Mackinac, which is essentially the area that connects Lakes Huron and Michigan. And this week, a scientist at the University of Michigan released a computer animation of what a pipeline spill in that area would actually mean for Lakes Michigan and Huron. And again, as I mentioned, this is a controversial pipeline. Fishermen, environmentalists would like Enbridge to, repair the pipeline or, in fact, replace it altogether. And so this animation gives people a sense of, you know, what a spill might look like.
And what would it look like?
Well, it's interesting. So basically this animation, which you can see, by the way, on WPR's website, if you click on Chuck Kornbach's story, you'll see the animation of actually where this oil would go. And it essentially shows what an oil spill lasting 12 hours would look like over the course of 20 days. And what the scientist found is that given the location and the currents, the oil, actually, I was looking at it earlier today. The oil travels really could potentially travel hundreds of miles in either or both directions over the course of 20 days.
It makes you think about what we may have learned from the BP oil spill. And here we have, it seems so far away, and yet we might see something like that closer to home.
And yet potentially really close because, again, this pipeline is located in a sensitive area. Enbridge, though, argues the pipeline is safe. In fact, the company says, it has a spotless safety record since it was built in the 1950s. So from Enbridge's standpoint, it's perfectly safe. From, again, environmental standpoint and maybe some fishermen, they'd like to see the pipeline replaced. Either way, if there is a spill, as this animation shows, potentially it could really affect Michigan, Wisconsin, several Canadian provinces, et cetera.
And all the wildlife.
Yeah.
We, by the way, have tweeted the link to that animation. If you follow us at Central Time WPR, you can find us on Twitter and check that out. Well, Scott Walker is signaling that he might be taking Mary Burke seriously. He issued a new ad attacking her work, granting money to lure Abbott Laboratories to Wisconsin. Tell us more about that.
Right. So for months, the Walker campaign has attacked Burke by, sort of generally kind of vaguely highlighting her connection to former Governor Doyle. She was a Commerce Secretary in his administration. But this week, the Walker campaign really got a bit more specific with their attacks and actually attacked her record. And as you mentioned, in this case, it was a $12 million grant that she helped secure that was meant to attract Abbott Laboratories to Wisconsin. And they never came.
And so what is Walker asserting?
Right, that basically this money was essentially wasted on something that never happened. Walker argues that if his record on job creation is fair game during the campaign, then Burke's record as Commerce Secretary is also fair game. Burke defended the grant. She says basically that when a state, has a chance to attract a Fortune 500 company like Abbott, that, you have to do what's necessary to attract them, whether or not they actually end up securing the company or not. She says it's worth going after them.
And in the end, what happened?
Right. So in the end, and just a day or so after this ad came out, it appears actually that Wisconsin has to repay that money to the federal government because Abbott Laboratories didn't come to Wisconsin. Documents released by the State Department of Administration show the feds feel that the grant really covered too lengthy of a time period, and it really included no firm commitments from Abbott. So the state actually has to pay back that $12.5 million that was approved during the Doyle administration.
As this campaign unfolds and the summer season typically slows down for the legislature, but obviously is a time to pick up and focus on election efforts. And there are a lot of public links between Mary Burke and Jim Doyle, or as the Republican Party would want you to remember. Will that be an effective tool for them in the coming election?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen. You know, obviously, the Republicans hope that Jim Doyle, they hope that that's a toxic name in Wisconsin. I think, according to the polls, you know, it's really unclear at this point. I think Mary Burke, the name of the game really is no mistakes, and to get her name out there, name recognition for her is going to be key. And I would think that she'll spend the next few months focusing on getting in front of as many eyeballs as possible, so that people know that she's out there and she's running for governor.
Well, Noah, thank you so much for joining us again this week.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
Noah Vshinsky is WPR's assistant news director, and he joins us every week at this time to get us caught up on the state headlines.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. In for Rob Ferret, this is Central Time on the Ideas Network.